the vice chairman of the Department of Urology and chief of robotics and minimally invasive surgery at the Mount Sinai Medical Center. Dr. Samadi, how are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Before, I've got a lot of questions about prostate cancer. Before we start talking about that, tell us, what is invasive surgery?
The minimal invasive surgery, you mean?
Yes.
So I basically use a robot, and it's a great technology that we have developed over the last 11 years. And we've taken the experience of open surgery where we used to cut patients and have a big incision and into like small keyhole operation or keyhole surgeries where there's really no incision. So because there's no incision or opening, there's no blood in the field. And since it's a bloodless surgery, you can actually see the operation almost like a Nintendo game and be able to do a very precise and accurate operation for men, which is very important because for prostate surgery, saving those nerves and saving the quality of life as far as urinary control, sexual function, as well as the prostate cancer cure is extremely critical. So in the hands of experienced surgeons, and that experience has to be highlighted, we can talk about it, their outcome is excellent with robotic surgery. Unfortunately, we have a lot of doctors and surgeons in this country that jump on this technology without having qualification, and like any other technology, it could be very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
What do you do to get the qualifications and the training you need before you should really operate or perform minimal invasive surgery?
You know, years ago, I used to say that you need at least 500 surgeries under your belt to be a qualified surgeon. Now we see more and more studies coming out saying that, you know, in a recent publication that you need at least 1,600 surgeries to be known as a qualified surgeon. Here in New York, we've done well over 3,600 of these surgeries where the patients stay overnight. They go home the next day with no transfusion. And the key is that I perform the entire case from the beginning to the end. And we've been training a lot of fellows in the past that have gone on and have done well for their patients. So it takes years to get good at this, and it's not something you can just take a weekend course. And that's really the big message. Most patients, they think they go to robotic surgery. It's not the robot where you press the button and you come back and the prostate is out. It's the experience of your doctor, what he brings on the day of surgery. So they really need to interview multiple doctors to make sure that they find the right person.
Tell us about prostate cancer, what the prostate does, who this affects, and who needs to be getting those checkups regularly.
Well, prostate is part of the male organ that's responsible for giving all the nutrition to the sperm, et cetera. It's part of the sexual organ. And, you know, prostate cancer is still 230,000 men being diagnosed in America. About 30,000 men die from this disease. So still, despite all of our screening, we see men die from this, so it's a serious health hazard. Unfortunately, what's being projected in the media is, especially with the recent announcement by U.S. Task Force, is that PSA screening does not help, doesn't save lives, and a lot of urologists, including myself across the country, are trying to educate the public about this misinformation. And what's important, really, not to treat this as one size fits all and say, don't go and get tested. If men were looking for a reason not to go to the doctor, they got this help this week. But the truth is that we need to know what your PSA is. This is a screening test, just like mammogram for women, and we need to look at the trend and find out whether you have prostate cancer or not. So it is a very important test, and we want to make sure that the patients are talking to their doctors before they make any decision.
Is there anything that we can do? What's the best preventative remedy, if you will? What's the best thing we can do to make sure we don't get this or to lessen our chances?
Well, the best way is to get a baseline PSA test at the age of 40. If it's a normal value, then you can start again at 45. If you have family history of prostate cancer, if you are from African-American race, then you want to make sure that you get this done every year and really stay on top of it. Make sure you keep the record of your PSAs and look at the trend and see how fast it moves up. And always talk to a couple of urologists that are expert in prostate cancer to get your answers, not just general medical doctors or general urologists that may miss this. It's your health, it's your body, and you need to stay on top of it. As far as nutrition is concerned, I think like sticking to nutrition such as lycopene, which you find in tomato sauce, tomatoes, pomegranate juice, which has a lot of antioxidants, would be very healthy for young men.
All right, we're talking with Dr. David Somati. He's the vice chairman of the Department of Urology and chief of robotics and minimal invasive surgery at the Mount Sinai Medical Center. There's been a controversial issue that you just mentioned a little bit ago in using alternative medicine to treat prostate cancer. And it's been getting a lot of attention lately, as recent studies have shown that there may be ways to prevent this disease naturally. Talk about that.
Well, you know, for a long time, we talked about taking multiple vitamins, whether it was selenium, whether it was vitamin E, whether it was other vitamins such as vitamin D or to prevent prostate cancer. What we're finding out now is that vitamin D actually can increase the risk of prostate cancer, and it's one thing that doctors should take them off their list. So if you're listening to this program, make sure you're not taking vitamin E, 400 units as a prevention for prostate cancer. We think that lycopene still helps. The judgment on salt palmetto is still not there yet, so I would be cautioned. So the answer is that for most of these vitamins or studies, you need a long-term studies before you can actually get your answers, and not switch. One week we say coffee is great for prostate cancer, the week after we say coffee is actually not going to help you. So I would not shift so much. Just eat healthy diet, make sure you stick to a great exercise regimen, and take care of your health. And if you're under a lot of stress, you're not getting enough sleep, or your diet is not healthy, that's when I would start taking some of these vitamins.
You know what, Dr. Somati, I take vitamin E every morning, but I wasn't taking it as a preventative measure. I was taking it because of the other things it does, but is that going to hurt me?
Well, you need to be under supervision. I'm not sure exactly what you were taking vitamin E for, but you want to make sure that you talk to your doctors and make sure you're taking the right amount and also for the right reason. So at least in my practice, I've stopped giving vitamin E to any of our patients. And I'm always very cautious about some of these alternative medicine recommendations because most data on these recommendations are not long-term. So speak to your doctor and find out exactly the purpose of these vitamins that they have prescribed for you.
All right, Dr. David Somati, the Vice Chairman of the Department of Urology and Chief of Robotics and Minimal Invasive Surgery at the Mount Sinai Medical Center. Thanks so much, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.